all things are possible. In other words, you can do anything. That's what Jesus said. And remember, he never lied to anyone. And all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, these scriptures let us know that we can actually determine how far we can go in life, how successful we could be, how prosperous we could be, what kind of life, how healthy we could be. He's actually letting us know it's up to us to do something about our lives. Now, remember this. Jesus died for everybody. You believe that? Did he die for Christians? No, Jesus didn't die for Christians. He died for the world. Those of them who believe in him and receive his salvation are the ones who become Christians. And Jesus didn't die for Christians. He died for sinners. So he paid for everybody. So no one has any reason to live in condemnation anymore, because the blood of Jesus Christ was enough for every sin, for every evil, for every wrong that was ever committed in this world. The blood of Jesus was enough to pay the full penalty for sin. And so in Romans chapter 8 verse 1 it says, there is therefore now no judgment, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the senses, but according to the Spirit. In other words, who do not walk according to their feelings, but according to the Spirit. You know, there are people who walk according to their feelings. If they feel good today, then God is with them. If they feel bad today, then God is not with them. Sometimes people pray and they say, well, when I prayed, I really felt close to God. I felt like heaven was down. And then some other times they pray and then they say, well, heaven was like brass. Looks like my prayer didn't go beyond the ceiling. It appears God's not hearing me anymore. There are even people who cry that way. They say, well, I used to feel the love of God so strong, but now I can't even feel the presence of God, and then they start crying. It's got nothing to do with your feelings. That's the reason it's a walk of faith. It's a life of faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says we walk, in other words, we live by faith and not by sight, not by sensory perception. You know, sometimes I ask people, even the healing school, I ask them, I say, how are you going to know that you're healed when God heals you? Well, sometimes they tell me, well, if I feel it, I know he hasn't healed me. If I don't feel it anymore, then I know God's healed me. I say, you're wrong. That's not faith. The Bible never said when God heals you, you never feel anything anymore. It doesn't say that. It'd be wrong to think that if you don't feel it, then God has healed you. If you still feel it, then God hasn't healed you. That's walking by sensory perception. Our lives are constantly run by what we hear, what we are told. Have you ever seen your intestines? How do you know you have some? You saw that in a book. You've never seen yours. We have the ability to trust anything we choose to trust. So believing is a choice. There's nobody who cannot believe. Believing is a choice. You choose to believe. You choose to accept something as real. You choose to reject it. That's the reason God can hold someone responsible for believing in Jesus or not believing in Jesus. Because it was a choice. You have reasons to believe differently. It's either because you read something, or you saw something, or because someone told you. And that's the reason God decided to give you words. Words that if you accept them, they have the ability to do something within you. To do something about your life. To change you. To honor the curse of your life. To change your destiny. God's word can. I said here, Jesus has been teaching us about the power of our words. How that we can be mindful of what we say. Proverbs again, chapter 18, verse 21. He says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. In other words, you can speak life or you can speak death. Now, when Jesus talked to the fig tree, he spoke death to the fig tree and it withered away. If you have a tumor in your body, you can speak death to it. You see that? You can curse it and command it to die and pass out of your body. And it will. Jesus said it will. You see that? And you can speak life to your body. It's natural to get sick, depending on your environment. The kind of sickness that you could have will be dependent on your environment. So it's natural. It's natural for things not to work out the best way. It's natural to go up, to come down. You know what I'm talking about. So all of those things are natural. But if you want to see something that is not of this world, which is positive, then the natural world will war against it. So if you start talking negatively about your life, it's very easy to go on a downward slide. Very, very easy, because the whole environment is perfectly fitted for it. Everything is friendly with the negative life. It's been built. Our environment has been built for us to accommodate the negative life, to accommodate failure, to accommodate poverty. Everything is just all right to accept it. The world is sickness friendly, poverty friendly, disease friendly, while they're trying to fight it. But if you want to be successful, you want to be healthy, you want to be prosperous, then you're trying to ask for something that the world is not perfectly fitted for, which means you're not going to speak just as easily or as lightly as you would have done with the negative words. You will now have to speak in such a way that your whole nature accepts it to release it. Hear this. Words are forces. Words are things. They set up a force field that can affect the environment in which they are spoken. They can get weaker and they can get stronger. The more you speak them, believe in them, and act in your faith about them, the more powerful they are, the more effective they are. And you have to sustain the power of those words by your faith. So you cannot say today, I have the health of God in me, I'm a success in the name of Jesus, and then tomorrow morning you say, I can't understand why the whole world is like this now. It looks like I'm getting sick. It looks like I'm going to fail. You can't say that. Now, if you say that, the positive one you spoke yesterday will not work. And if all your life you've been talking negatively, you would need to build a whole lifestyle now of being word-minded. So it's not something that you know, sometimes you talk to people like this and then they say, well, I've tried it. I've been doing it for 1 week and it hasn't worked. Look, you've built your whole life. Imagine if you're 45 years old. You've built your last 40 years in a negative life. And you expect that in the last 6 months, you should clear up all the negative infrastructure that you set up in your life. It can't go that way. So don't think that all the results will come overnight. No, but just keep going on. Keep insisting, because this is the right way. And keep going on. Keep going on. Before long, those structures will start coming down. They start coming down while you're building new ones. See? But if you try 2 weeks or 2 months and then give up and become confusing, you can deceive your spirit. Oh boy. See, when you were born again, failure was removed from your life. But why do some Christians still fail? God says, my people perish, my people suffer for the lack of knowledge. They don't understand. That's why they suffer. I don't fail. I'm a success. And let me tell you something. You know, you could just be sitting in front of me now and say, well, but I just feel the jam. Or, oh yeah. Or maybe you had a professional exam and you failed that one. Say, but, well, I just failed that one. Uh-uh. That's man rating you. You've got to understand that. That's got nothing to do with the rest of your life. You could have a D in class. You could even have an F in class. But don't you have a D in life? I mean, you can have a D in class and still become the most successful person in that class. Come on, how many professors are a success in life? How many? There are too few of them. Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. And we ought to see ourselves with the eyes with which God sees us. You may be dressed in rags, but let them be neat. Never envy anybody. Nobody in this world was ever like you. Of all that God ever made, nobody was ever like you. And today, over 5 billion people on the face of the earth, nobody is like you. And nobody will ever be like you. You're absolutely unique. The way God can do it through you, He can't do it through somebody else. He can't do it exactly the same way. Why? Because the two materials are different. There's a place for you in this life. And you make up your mind, you are not going to take another person's place. Because it won't work. Listen, Jesus died for you. And that blood bought you. Bible says you are bought with a price. He bought you. He paid for you. Have you seen anybody in his right mind? Have you seen anybody in his right mind who goes into the supermarket and says, I want to buy rubbish. You got any rubbish to sell for me? Just give me any rubbish. Or someone who comes with money to say, I want to buy useless things. Or please give me nothing. You know, some people say, we are nothing before thee. Nonsense! They think they are being humble. No, but they're being ignorant. You are bought with a price. I like to know what I'm worth to God. I like to know what I'm worth. What's my value? The value is on the price tag. The Bible says, ye are bought with a price. What price? I want to know what price. Peter tells us what price it is. He says, you see, brethren, ye were not redeemed by silver or gold or precious stones, but with the precious blood of the Son of God. Hey, do you mean if I'd been the only one on earth, the man would have died for me? The Bible shows, yeah. Don't you tell me God sees me as valuable to him as Jesus. You don't mean that, do you? Well, the Bible shows emphatically, yes. Dear God, with all my wrongs, I'm that valuable to God? What about all the prophecy we used to hear? The Lord will never share his glory with anybody. They were talking from their brains. He will not share his glory with the heathen gods. But he has given us. I want you to notice the tenses. He doesn't say he's going to do it. That means I ought to be living a glorified life. Are you hearing me? That means he has honored me. So I'm an honored person. Hey, come think about it. I'm an honored person. So from today, I can carry myself with dignity. Don't wait till you have money in millions. Don't wait till some fellow somewhere honors you. Stand up tall. You're God's man, you're God's woman. You're honored with the glory of Jesus. That's why I don't think I ought to steal, because I'm a glorified person. I'm an honored person with dignity. I thought I was down and out. But it says, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given. He didn't say, I shall give when they pray hard enough. He didn't say, I'll try to give some of them. He says, I have given them. He wants the world to know that the Father loves us as much as he loves Jesus. That means Jesus is concerned about my success. If you believe in Jesus and you have been living in poverty, he wants you to suddenly get up and your business keeps getting blessed and expanding, glorified, that the world may know that the Father has loved you. He's placed as much value on us as Jesus. Praise God.